You know, over at my other church in Fort Meade, we had several special visitors today. And you know, the thing about it is, the trouble about being a seasoned preacher is there's an illustration always comes up everywhere. You know, I guess I have such a repository, whatever you want to call it, in my brain. Well, I had a big group from Switzerland over there today, and I got to practice some of my French. I said, "Je suis enchanté de vous voir, monsieur et madame," and I just wanted to show off, you know, like that. But anyway, it thought me thinking about somebody. Switzerland's turned out a lot of noble religious people, and one of the most famous theologians, and people know here, I don't quote theologians too much. My first year or two out of seminary, I was quoting them left and right. But you know what? After a while, people fall asleep if you talk about them too much. But I started thinking about Karl Barth, famous Reformed Presbyterian theologian of the mid-20th century. And Karl was also the one when I asked one time, "Dr. Barth, what is your theology?" And you know what he said? "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Very simple, but very profound. Well, Dr. Barth was a professor at Tübingen University in Germany. The date, 1933. Guess who just came into power? It wasn't Franklin Delano Roosevelt over there. It was, you know who, the Führer came into power in 1933. And it was issued from Berlin that every school, whether it was a university, high school, elementary, kindergarten, whatever, they had to stand and salute Adolf Hitler's picture in the classroom. Well, that morning, Dr. Barth walked in. The classroom was full. People were even sitting in the windows. He was carrying a suitcase. And they thought, well, that's odd. So he placed it down by the podium there. And there was silence. Dead silence. And all of a sudden, there was a cross and there was a picture of Jesus Christ. He turned around and said, "Hail Jesus!" Picked up his suitcase and walked out, caught the next train to Switzerland. If he hadn't, guess who would have visited him? The Gestapo. Wonderful fellow. Well, that doesn't really have anything to do with the sermon, but I thought it'd make a good illustration today. You know, like I said, you never know. And most of my illustrations are not in the script, by the way. I think of them before I get to church on Sundays. Well, you know, on Good Friday, the world broke faith with God. People like us today crucified the living, breathing Son of God. But on Easter Sunday, as the scripture says, before the sun had risen, God bridged that eternal divide of broken faith and healed that gulf of spiritual infection that had taken place, that was in place since the Garden of Eden. What doesn't make sense is the miracle of Easter. You say, well, what do I mean by that? Well, by meaning miracle, it doesn't refer to the resurrection necessarily. However, the resurrection was a matter of power, and Christ, because he is the Son of God with unlimited power, had all this going for him. Though the greatest miracle and the deepest mystery of our faith, you know what it was? Is not that Christ rose from the dead, but that Christ returned, came back. Now think about this. Christ was rejected, he was cast out and crucified, then returned 3 days later to the very same people who had betrayed him. I think every one of us here probably would have never done that. We would have wanted to have come back for revenge. But did Christ? No. He proved them wrong, or to vindicate himself. Such actions for him to get revenge might have been reasonable to everyone here, but for him, that was not his cup of tea to do that. And some people will hold a grudge the rest of their lives. Not Jesus Christ. That was an interesting thing. The reappearance of Christ was something far more mysterious and unfathomable. Christ appeared again on that first Easter morning, not because he could, but due to the fact that he wanted to do so. Miracle of miracles, Christ still loved people. Good Friday can be understood, But Easter is almost unbelievable. You know, sometimes we just have to remember about forgiveness and grace. And those things seem like get lost in the shovel in our daily lives. Somebody step on our toes, we're ready to punch their lights out, aren't we? Do we ever think that perhaps start with forgiveness and things will happen for the better? I'm always reminded of a couple in a former church who was always having marital problems. They always loved each other intensely, but the husband always had a roving eye with the ladies. He would flirt shamelessly at the drop of a hat. You know, how come I know him so well? He and his wife attended my church. But also, you remember I've told y'all about my job at the convenience store because one of my church members was manager and she couldn't find anybody without a felon and she asked me if I'd like to be a cashier. And I said, well, sure. And I'm going to tell you something. I did more ministry and counseling in that store than I did in all the churches I've had before or since. People would find out, now I didn't wear this collar. I didn't have a big Bible in my hand. But word got around. And I don't know, I call it cashier counseling is what I did. And you know, people would come in and they would just start discussing things. Now, I did have a few wanting me to bless their lottery tickets. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but I am limited on what I can do. And blessing lottery tickets, if I could, I'd bless some myself, you know. But anyway, they would come in. Then, you know, I had the migrant workers, and I would be talking to them in Spanish. And so it was a day of, it was really an enjoyable job to do. But I always felt like that God placed me there for a reason. And I think it was because God wanted me to help those people who came into the store. But getting back to my buddy there that worked with me, we worked together at the convenience store. And the irony of it is that, you know, I'm very close to both those people, that couple. And in fact, I talked to the wife just day before yesterday. But we had a really close relationship from the time I started to until the time I left. But the sad thing about the husband was he never could control his lechery. He was always running after the females. And I told him someday he's going to catch something that Lysol nor SOS will be able to scrub off, but he wouldn't listen to me and everything. But his wife was always at wit's end. When he and I worked together, he'd literally make overt passes at every young woman who walked in the store. But he wasn't exactly a Metro Goldwyn Mayer picture drop dead gorgeous movie star. In fact, he had thinning hair and his nose, I hate to sound, this was the size of an eggplant. When he would return from his break, he would be livid, not at me personally, but you know, but because all the beautiful women would come in to the store and would come up to my register for me to wait on them. I told him tongue in cheek that when you have irresistible charm and George Clooney looks, what more can be said about me? But Dale was his name. He would repent to his wife about his moral failures and she would take him back. I don't know how many counseling sessions I had at the church with he and his wife, but we would get together, his nose would turn red, he'd start crying some, and I thought, are you sincere or is this just an acting job that you're doing? Well, he would stay on the straight and the narrow path for about 3 or 4 months, and then he would stray off and begin his wicked, wicked ways again. And so, and his wife had more grace in her heart than any person I've ever known. She loves him but despises his ways. Forgiveness is something which she attempts to do with him as did Christ with those who crucified him. You know, faith doesn't come easily to any of us. I want to say this. You really, really, really have to nurture it and really work at it. For those of us who feel lost amidst the confusion and doubts of life, it can indeed become very difficult, not just to understand the light, but to believe and have faith. The message of Easter is that God's light or presence is the ultimate power at work in this universe and in our lives. Society desperately needs to hear the Easter message more than ever now. The message itself is unchanged, just as relevant today as it was to those early disciples. Can you imagine the bleakness felt by the disciples that Easter morning? It was just probably, they probably didn't feel like they had anything to live for anymore. Christ to them was dead and gone, but nothing really mattered. Nothing to them. There was despair all around. In reality, the shadows of darkness had gathered in a sort of suffocating manner. They were truly children of the shadows. Regardless of the faith factor, was there anything those early Christians could really believe in now? Christ's body was placed in a rich man's tomb. Mary Magdalene, who had come to Christ's mausoleum, was left alone weeping. Such a stark and desolate scene. The story of Easter is something that is attainable because of hope, which dispels doubt and discouragement. Faith is not just believing in the existence and power of God, but the grace found there. Christ did turn the crucifixion, Earth's darkest hour, into the resurrection, our greatest hope. God can and will abolish the onslaught of darkness experienced in every human life. Do you ever feel disappointed? Have you felt disappointed last week or yesterday or today? You almost feel as if disappointment comes one right after the other. And we all have it. You've heard my illustrations that sometimes, even in the ministry, I felt like, and I've asked God, am I at the end of my rope? And God always throws me a several hundred yards or more rope. That's the way God is, because God's grace never ends. God loves us for everlasting, for eternity, literally. Jawaharlal, say that five times fast, Nehru, was the first prime minister of independent India. And he said upon the death of Mahatma Gandhi that a light has gone out of India and never to return. Yes, a light did go out in India, but that light discovered a blaze at the empty tomb never did extinguish. John said that the true light had come into the world. Don't ever forget it as long as you live. Christ is our hope today, tomorrow, and eternally, and his light will never be extinguished. Take that home today with you. Take that to work with you tomorrow. Take that to wherever you go this week, and remember, the light of the world is truly Jesus Christ. In this day of bad news, which has been bad news for centuries, but when you see something bad happen, just ask God to help you to be a better person, to even make your corner of the world better than it was yesterday. God will do so, but we must believe that God can act upon it. Well, if God acted upon the empty tomb, you know God can act in our simple problems that we all have. Now, they may seem unbearable, but God will act upon it. You just have to trust God, and trust is the secret to have a fulfilling life. Don't forget about that scripture and everything pray. It's out of 1 Thessalonians. Pray everything. Even if it hurts, pray. God will help out in all things. Believe me, it works. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this Easter Sunday. We have seen what Easter has done to those early believers, and Easter is a life-changing formula for the rest of us. Help us, O God, when we have our doubts and discouragement, when we are disappointed, not just in people but situations. Perhaps some of us were hoping for a new start, and it seems like we're in the almost the atmosphere of stagnancy. Help us, O God, to move on, and we know you will. Help us, O Lord, to know that you have better things planned. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.